I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, January 13th. We have another Josina Anderson Insider Show. Josina, what's up? How we doing?
What's up, Will? You know, our last conversation went viral in Cleveland, apparently.
Oh, did it? Oh, they play, you know what? They actually played it on the radio in Cleveland.
Yes, I heard.
Ken Carmen, I don't think he's ever been on the podcast, but he is a friend of the podcast and listens to the podcast. Great dude. 92.3 The Fan there in Cleveland. I think he played a clip of something that we said on there. Did we get roasted on Twitter by Baker Mayfield? like Mary Kay?
No, yeah. We didn't get roasted. And again, you know, Baker, I understand you having frustrations and things like that. It is always, you know, just best at all of us when we can, you know, to address those things person to person. So never going to be, you know, an advocate of that. But nonetheless, I understand because we in the media also have our own comments that we do on Twitter. But it's what I'm saying is difficult to see. So that went on and they were talking about it. And I think essentially what Mary Kay was just getting to is just, you know, the things behind the scenes. And even though Andrew Berry has since had his press conference since then, and talking about their expectations to see Mayfield start in 2022 and to bounce back, I also expect Andrew Berry to say the things that a general manager would say in January. And it doesn't mean that it's not true that that can't end up being the case, but I also fully expect for a general manager to filter through all of his options because that is part of the job.
Once you get past Christmas, Santa's already brought all the presents. It's lion season in the NFL. Nobody's worried about staying on that nice list once you get past Christmas. It is lion season. S-E-N. It's also podcast season right now, and we are on YouTube.com/pick6. Like, comment, subscribe if you are watching on YouTube. Leave us a 5-star rating if you're listening on Spotify. Of course, we'll be going live after all the playoff games on the YouTubes as well. So set your alerts and you will know when we go.
Smash
all the buttons.
I have a button here. It doesn't work because I don't have
you got the easy button. Staples
but
easy.
I do. Press the button, Staples. Smash the like button on this podcast. There you go.
That's right. This weekend, NFL Super Wildcard Weekend is on CBS, featuring two can't-miss games Saturday night at 8 Eastern. The Patriots and Bills renew their rivalry in primetime. Then on Sunday at 4:30 Eastern, two legendary teams take center stage when Jimmy G and the 49ers clash with Dak and the Cowboys. Super Wildcard Weekend, Saturday night and Sunday afternoon on CBS. A serious promo read voice. That's right.
Yes, I just did a hit on CBS HQ where the anchor had to say super. So I know you guys have to say super. So yeah, good job, bro.
I was going to make fun of super, and then I got tased by the higher-ups. Tased and hazed for not properly describing right. Super Wild Card Weekend. All right, let's dive into NFL. You mentioned it's Lions season. It's also interview season because there's lots of vacancies. We have five vacancies. We will get to team by team stuff, but you have some specific reporting you've done in recent days on a couple of candidates that we want to touch on. Namely, the Broncos are going to interview Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn What's the buzz with Aaron Glenn there, and is he a do we think he's a legitimate candidate there in Denver?
So that interview is started at 1 o'clock today Eastern time. The general manager from the Broncos flying in town to do that interview in Detroit. At the time I was talking to my league source, and we're not sure who else was going to participate in the meeting. I can tell you that is my understanding that Aaron Glenn is treating the interview as it being a serious interview. Thus, you know, he wouldn't have done it. I know that there have been talks around Twitter as to people's opinions to that end. But nonetheless, you know, a lot of times after these interviews, Will, I wait to talk to the people involved and then to get their feedback as to how they, you know, think that it went. I do think that there's a lot of talk about their affinity in Denver for Dan Quinn. And, you know, so, you know, we will see. There's certainly talk, not with regards to the candidate that we're talking about, but in league circles with regards to their impressions of how serious, you know, they are through this, you know, through this process. And I don't even know if serious is the right word, but meaning that I guess there's impressions that they, you know, kind of already have, you know, who they want in mind, which is not unusual.
Sure, sure. So the other one is Leslie Frazier, the Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator. Yeah, I'll be honest. Oh, okay, great. Never mind. Okay, he is 62 years old. I was looking at his Pro Football Reference, you know, because they have the coaching stats on there. He went 21-32-1 in 4 years with Minnesota, 10-6 one season after, you know, he's actually the interim coach in 2010. Went 3-3. They struggled the next year and then started to turn around, was fired after just 4 years. But it was like, he was like 54 at the time. And I was like, he's 54? That seems much younger than I would have
thought. Oh, yeah, yes.
He was 54 when he was coaching the Vikings.
At the time, Will.
Look, I think Leslie Frazier is a really interesting candidate. And you reported, Josina, that he is interviewing with the Dolphins. He's also going to interview with the Bears, apparently. He is a guy who's, you know, along with Sean McDermott, has, you know, helped to turn this Buffalo defense into a consistently top tier unit. Really the only time that they've been bad previous, like under his watch, is 2020. It was just sort of a, you know, weird year all around for everybody, you know?
Yeah. And the unique thing for Leslie Frazier's interviews is that because the Bills play on Saturday, the coaches that have interest that play on Saturday, along with the teams of the coach or the coaches of the teams that have the bye, can interview this week. And or obviously, if you're just not in the playoffs, you know, clearly you can do that too, like Brian Flores. Right. You can, yeah. Or we can interview Will.
Yeah, right. You can interview wherever you want.
Yeah. Right. You know, if they want to interview us, we could be the head coach.
Absolutely.
Of the,
and I will do that. I will absolutely coach an NFL team for several million dollars.
I don't know how that would look.
And you can fire me halfway through my first season. I don't care.
And still make $15 million. Right. We can get to, we'll get to the Giants when you want to. Anybody, Will, who is offering to have us chill and drink lemonade and sweet tea on Sundays to do nothing, we will accept all offers.
Yeah, that's right. You want to hire me? Give me a 4-year contract and fire me the next day. I have no problem with that. You can catch me on the golf course.
So you're right.
I retired from coaching permanently and I am golfing now.
There you go. And I think that it's also really good because Sean McDermott made sure, I don't know when the quote came out, but he made sure to say that this is Leslie Frazier's defense. You know, this is not my defense. And I thought that that was very good and nice of him. And accurate of him to say in the press. And then I think the other thing that's really interesting about Leslie Frazier's case, not, you know, especially with the Bears, obviously being a part of that organization too, is that if you go back and you look at last year, I believe it came down to he and David Culley as the finalists for the job in Houston. And he did not get the job in Houston. They went with Culley. And at the time, you know, for Leslie Frazier, kind of, you know, hearing the results of that search while he was still in town was, you know, I think I can go ahead and say it was a very, very difficult. And it's just interesting how, you know, things, you know, work out and play out. But ultimately, I think that, you know, as the conversations are happening, that what was best for Leslie played out, was what was best for Leslie and what was best for David Culley is working out for him relative to what his circumstance and path has been to trying to become a head coach. And so there you are. But you cannot ignore the defense and the status of the defense under Leslie Frazier, particularly what it was before he got there.
The other thing too is that with these jobs, you know, New York, Chicago, Miami, I mean, you're talking about spots where I think it might be beneficial. And I said this on the when we were ranking the hirings. I don't want to say that, like, I don't want to be the guy, like, I don't want to be like, they should hire a retread or like a, you know, run it back with somebody who didn't work with another team. But I do think that there is the case to be made that some of these places, I mean, New York specifically, more than anybody, like, need some stability. And you need somebody who's done it before. So you're not like Joe Judge was learning how to be a head coach on the fly in the New York market with, you know, with a GM who was under fire already and, you know, a lack of talent on the roster. That is a bad spot to be in. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to look like a clown show.
I mean, you can really go on and on and on and on when you peel back the layers of the New York Giants. I mean, it is just so much there that consistently doesn't make sense.
Yes, correct.
And especially,
Let's dive in on the Giants.
Go ahead, please.
Since we're just talking Giants, I'm going to flip the rundown. Sorry for that, Nada. As you're wondering what is the matter with Brinson here, as he's looking. Giants GM opening, of course, and the head coach opening now that Joe Judge has been fired. I think the GM opening is extremely interesting here in New York because of a couple of reasons. One, you're following Dave Gettleman. Guess what? That's going to make you popular. No matter what you do, you're not Dave Gettleman. And I know that sounds insane and kind of crass and rude, but it's true. Like, not being Dave Gettleman is going to make you popular. You're also going to be able to pick your own head coach. I think that's the way the Giants are going to do it, barring a Jim Harbaugh coming to town, somebody with enough cachet to say, no, I want this guy to be my GM. Mm-hmm. Some of the names that they've interviewed: Rand Carthen, 49ers director of player personnel; Ryan Cowden, Titans VP of player personnel. I think Jonathan Jones may have reported that first.
Who had the connection to Joe Judge.
That's right. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Quentin Harris and Adrian Wilson, NC State's own, High Point, North Carolina's own Adrian Wilson, both from Quentin Harris, the Cardinals vice president of player personnel; Adrian Wilson, Cardinals vice president of pro personnel; Joe Schoen, Bills assistant GM; Ryan Poles, chief executive director of player personnel; and Adam Peters, 49ers assistant general manager. Also, Monty Austinford, Titans director of player personnel. I think these are names that are probably not on the radar in a big way for some of these teams, for, you know, just for like the general fan. But these are some good names that the Giants are actually looking at. You know, they said they were not going to go in-house with Kevin Abrams, and, you know, getting away from what has not worked with the Giants is probably smart. Like, you need some new blood in New York to try and come in and take over, right? And run that organization, I think.
So a couple of things. One, just peeling it back. Okay. So they made their general manager switch after they were 11-5 and going from Jerry Reese to Dave Gettleman. Okay. That is the last time that they were double digits since that switch.
Actually, I think that, because I was looking at this too. I was looking at this and it was, it was when they benched Eli for Geno Smith. Mm-hmm. I think it's when they fired Jerry Reese and Ben McAdoo. So I think Reese was actually fired mid-season. Correct me if I'm wrong. Because I thought the same thing as you. I thought they fired him after, because he spent all the money in free agency. They go 11-5. They make the playoffs, lose to Green Bay after the boat game. And then he came back the next year, but they were like three.
Was it mid-season? Okay. Well,
the only reason I know that too is because I saw a Giants writer tweeting out, Jerry Reese won two Super Bowls and they fired him mid-season. Dave Gettleman gets a retirement ceremony before
his
final game.
So yes, my point that I'm trying to make is that that it was after an 11-5, you know, accomplishment the year before is basically what I'm trying to get at. And so then you have, but thank you for that. But then you have the coaching, you know, switch of going from Coughlin to McAdoo to Spagnuolo to Shurmur and Joe Judge. And since 2015, it's been 1, 2, 3, 4 names coming upon a fifth name for this time. So that's just, you know, the number, that's just the number one thing. And then you're talking about how do you go about the change? So I understand there's a lot of ire from the Giants fans with regards to the job they feel Joe Judge has done. We can have a debate as to whether he should have gotten the job based on his resume going in, though there is some precedent for special teams people like John Harbaugh, or just even, you know, you look at Mike Tomlin and his, you know, resume coming in before he started, all this other stuff. You can have this debate. But nonetheless, it ended up at a 4-13 season. But since you were there, and it was in the midst of a contract that had 3 years remaining on it, $5 million per, it's like, you know, what is the best decision? Because they constantly keep allowing a little bit of time and then cycling after that, right? But you talk about, okay, and I guess this is the point that I'm trying to make. This is how you knew that what was going to happen was not going to include hiring a GM and that GM making a decision. How many names did you just name there on that list that they're looking at for GMs? How many was on that list?
It was around 10.
10?
Eight total, excuse me.
Eight? So Will, if I asked you if that, let's just go through the thinking that was out there. And every time I kept hearing this, I was shaking my head. I'm like, that's not the case. How long do you think it would take to get through 8 GM interviews? Just roughly.
Like the absolute fastest you could do it if you are interview, you know, if let's say all these guys are out of the playoffs. I think you give a day to each one, right? You're not banging these out in like 3 days, are you? I
mean, at best, if we wanted to go on the fast end, let's just say if you're turboing through this, though the Giants are the team not to turbo through this be 4 days, 2 a day, right?
Yeah, that's probably, I think that works.
At best, that's what you're doing, though that's not what I think you should be doing, right? And I think that these candidates should be getting, that's another complaint I'm hearing out on the cycle right now, as far as not feeling like you have enough time, you know, to really fully prepare like you would want to, particularly from coaching candidates out there. But if you were to do, so you're already behind because you're waiting to make this decision on Joe Judge, then you have 8 candidates per what you're telling me, Will, a minimum of 4, most likely at a week. And that's not even including, Will, the second round of interviews.
Correct.
For your finalists. Wait a minute. Then naming your candidate. And by the way, Will, are you hiring your coach the day that you sign the GM? No. So then that means you're another week and a half to 2 weeks behind, which if you're trying to get your perfect combination, never made sense. So everybody that was saying, oh, well, you know, this is not it because, you know, the GM is going to decide. No, that timeline never made sense. It was either he was in or he was out.
Yep, absolutely. You can't. And the Giants, I think in what you were saying too, about how they, like the timing of these contracts too, like the Giants, so that when the Giants fired Jerry Reed, like they kept having these overlapping GMs and coaches, and you need to, like, not just for the, you know, for the synchronicity, I guess. I don't know what word I'm looking for. Like, you want the guys to be on the same page. You don't want to be bringing in coach and then, you know, fire the GM.
The only thing that I think that I know that was being considered, and I think is if you're already, and this is, you know, Giants fans will kill me, but if you're already in the boat of Joe Judge, right? That's why I keep putting, it's a different conversation as to whether he should be in the boat, right? But given that he's in the boat, And you still can have miraculous turnarounds. You know, there was once upon a time when the Giants players, the OC Umanuras, the Justin Tucks, the Michael Strahans were not pro Coughlin.
Did not like Tom Coughlin at all.
And they had to have, you know, and they had a GM change, I believe it was 2006 or something like that. And then Coughlin represented his case and they ended up staying with all this other stuff. So they've been that round. And although the records were better at that point than what we see with Joe Judge now, but it's also a different pool of talent at the time via what the GM situation was. So that's all, you know, you can go there. But my point is that I feel like it was a viable consideration to bring in a GM and not go for a coach the first year. And hear me out here, because the thinking is that you're not winning the Super Bowl anyways the next year. You're most likely not even going to be in the playoffs. So if you're really trying to find a good GM candidate and not trying to rush as they've done, spend your time on really, really, really making sure that you have the GM that you want. Let him use the year to assess everything. And then the following year, come back and say, okay, now we're going into it with time with the coaching search instead of everyone rushing and racing against one another. Huh?
Well, and it gives you, as a GM, it's sort of like when a head coach inherits the old coach's young quarterback. It gives you sort of a free pass where you can have that year, you know, you struggle and you're like, sorry, Joe, but you knew this was coming. I do think, though, that I think what happened with the Giants is – they got enough candidates of this like eight list who sort of either through back channels or maybe explicitly said it for some of them, like, look, you know, I'm not going to take this job if the coach is already, you know, like if the coach is in place. I think that, and plus the fans reacting and the way that the final 2 weeks of the season went down, you know, it just was too much. So let me ask you this. What do you see a particular direction for the Giants?
So one, I just want to address kind of what you were just saying right there. And then yes, to answer your question, you know, as far as some of the reasons that you're seeing, I think there's always a measure of back channeling because, right, that's just what happens in the NFL to kind of figure out. But I don't think it's as heavy as you think with people saying, I'm not coming there if this person is there, because honestly, strategically from a chessboard move, it actually buys the GM one more year for whatever his tenure is going to be. You know, if you're looking at your own longevity, because you have a built-in year and excuse. So that's just one. And then yes, the fan base. Also want to add in there, Aaron Rodgers making the comment on Pat McAfee's show, making fun of Joe Judge and that going viral. That certainly was another thing to add to the, we can talk about whether we thought that was gratuitous or not. but nonetheless, that happened. And then you asked me, what do I think? So I'll put it in what I think they should do. And then, you know, what perhaps will happen. What I think they should do, if I were Mr. Mara, would be to hire a GM who's actually been a GM before. You know, someone on another team was suggesting to me John Dorsey, and they were really making a case for Dorsey because of his history of bringing in talent that actually, you know, really worked out to be good talent. And it's very hard to argue when you really dive into his resume with that of what John Dorsey's ability to do that has been. If you bring in a general manager to bring a general manager that has not done that before, you're essentially doing in the head coach quadrant, the GM quadrant, what you were doing in the head coach. They're going to be learning on the job. There's nobody that you mention on that list that is certifiable.
They don't have any. Yeah, there's no experience.
There's no GM experience. Like, hello. This is why, Will, sometimes I literally sit back when I'm reporting stories and I just watch and listen to people. And I'm just like, we're going to have the GM come and he's going to make the decision. And, the GM is going to right the ship. And, Joe Judge shouldn't have got the job because he didn't have an experience. Well, let's go down the list of the GMs that were being talked about, and no one has been in the chair.
I'm with you. It's something that you've I'm laughing. Apparently, I did these underdog playoff commercials. It's like a fantasy game. Mm-hmm. I've gotten like 10 texts or comments in the last like 48 hours where people are like, all I hear is this, your name on this ad, and it's driving me, or your voice on this ad, and it's driving me insane, which I find very amusing.
Okay.
So that's why I was laughing. I wasn't laughing.
That's okay. Oh, no.
I was laughing into a judge. Who knows? The Bears moving. Let's shift gears to Chicago. Because the Giants are, I agree, going to go with the – and the Bears are probably going to do the same thing. George McCaskey, who had speaking of embarrassing, what a press conference that was. I mean, this guy is something else. I'm not a football guy. I'm a fan. Okay, George. And he's like, the board and the ownership has told me that I'm staying on. It's like, dude, your mom is the owner. Like, it's mom. I mean, I push him in front of this guy, but whatever. They have put in – several requests for interviews. Ed Dodds, Colts assistant GM. Jeff Ireland, former Dolphins GM, most notable, most famous for his, or infamous, I guess, for his Dez Bryant inquiries at the combine that got him in hot water, has actually done a really good job acquiring players as the assistant GM with Mickey Loomis there in New Orleans for the Saints. One could even argue that Mickey Loomis is that Jeff Ireland's doing a little more legwork. Jeff Ireland, Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis got a basketball team to run too. I don't blame him. Morocco Brown, Colts director of college scouting. They have talked to Glenn Cook from the Browns and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, Browns VP of football ops. Talk about a deep dive into the analytics world. If they went that direction, they have also, so it's weird, Trocina, because the Bears are like, we're going to hire a GM first. And then that GM will hire the coach. But they're also like already interviewing coaches. So I don't think the Bears know what they're doing. They've interviewed Doug Peterson. They've requested Dan Quinn, Byron Leftwich of the Bucks, offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett of the OC from the Packers, the aforementioned Leslie Frazier we talked about, Matt Eberflus, Colts defensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, Bills OC, and Todd Bowles, Bucks DC. What direction do you see the Bears, or what are you hearing about Chicago, if anything?
Well, to go back to what you were just saying in the midst of announcing all those names, I think, you know, the clarification is that they'll announce the GM first.
Right.
Not necessarily that they will wait to do everything in succession. As far as the direction, I just think that they are, I think all of the people that they're interviewing, they find to be quality candidates. They're just trying to find synergy with the interviewee, and that interviewee being in alignment with a GM that they would like to bring in. I don't think that there is necessarily any big leaning offense to defense. It's just that if it's a defensive candidate, that they have to present a strong plan for how they plan to deal with, you know, and bring along Justin Fields. That has been the Achilles heels of some of these defensive candidates, you know, just really or are just non-offensive candidates, you know, Joe Judge in particular, either not being able to work with the OC that they want and or not having one that is just very innovative and can bring the that unit along. It sunk Todd Bowles in with the Jets. Yep. Obviously, you know, you can talk about the Jason Garrett, Joe Judge synergy or lack thereof, and on and on and on and on and on. But I really just believe it's who they walk away with feeling the most confident in. I don't sense a lean one way or the other. It's just, you know, how what the impression is after these kind of rapid interviews that everyone is doing. And to that end, I still every year advocate that I think there should be a quote unquote coaching season that should last, or excuse me, coaching interview season that should just last in the 3 weeks between the conclusion of Super Bowl and the combine. And that way everyone is, you know, interviewing on equal footing and doesn't have their attention split between trying to prepare game plans. And now all of a sudden I'm supposed to be like, that's what Aaron Glenn is doing. Now all of a sudden he's supposed to be an expert on the Broncos today.
Right. It's like,
you know what I mean?
I've been coaching the Lions for, you know, like, I know you guys beat us really badly, but other than that, I don't really know a whole lot.
Right. Or Leslie Frazier, who was in the middle of preparing the, you know, for a Saturday game, no less, and then has to turn around right after the next day and then, you know, talk to the teams that he's talking to.
A Saturday game that, by the way, is on CBS Sports.
For Super.
It's super. A Super Saturday game on CBS. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will talk about the other coaching openings.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Broncos, as we talked about, are looking into a bunch of names. No surprise, we mentioned Aaron Glenn, Lions defensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, former Colorado Buffs legend, getting a look there. Brian Callahan, Bengals OC, Jonathan Gannon, Eagles DC, Luke Getsy, and Nathaniel Hackett, as Brady Quinn and I talked about. He's like, what? Luke Getsy? Why? Oh, right. The Broncos want to get Aaron Rodgers. So they've got multiple guys from his offensive staff joining, coming in for interviews to at least, if they're not hiring Luke Getsy, they're at least going to find out if Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay by interviewing him and Nathaniel Hackett. Gerard Mayo, Pat's inside linebacker coach. This is how you know you're getting old, when Gerard Mayo, Kellen Moore getting interviews. Like I covered these guys in the league. Kevin O'Connell and Rams OC and Dan Quinn, Cowboys DC. Is for Denver, they have George Patton in there as the GM. You know, he's making his first hire as a coach. There's an ownership change expected, and I think I saw somewhere that John Elway, obviously, is in one of the potential ownership groups, and Peyton Manning is in the other. So, I mean, what a competition that is. Do you think that how much is the ownership going to factor in here for maybe a highly coveted coach? Like Dan Quinn's, you know, Gerard Mayo, maybe he doesn't want to make a leap now because changes could come down the pipe. I mean, is that a big factor and any sense on where Denver's looking?
All of these back channels are all connected. You know, people will talk behind the scenes, you know, get their input, you know, involved where it need be. But ultimately, you know, can't necessarily wait for a changing of the guard to obviously put people in place. But I do believe back channels will be heard. So just to answer that question. With regards to having the Packers candidates in the pool because of their desire to lure Aaron Rodgers, it certainly makes sense, though I think you can have a very credible debate as to what you think of Nathaniel without Aaron Rodgers being there.
I think that is a perfectly reasonable way to put it.
I mean, you know, but this is also the debate that people have with Byron Leftwich, you know, and what's going on with Tampa Bay, to be, you know, fair too, and how much of that, or even Eric Bieniemy under Andy Reid and what have you, whether you're making the connection to the quarterback or to the, of course, that would be the Texans calling there, or to the Colts, you know, at the same time. So, or what did I just say? Excuse me.
No, no, I mean, look, the bottom line is, and yes, you can only weigh an OC's team. You can only weigh an OC's offense performance independent of his quarterback so much. I mean, it's not like it's not the easiest thing to do in the world, because
particularly in Green Bay.
Yes. Right. Correct. Like if Aaron Rodgers is not on the roster, are we talking about Nathaniel Hackett getting all these interviews?
No, we're not. Literally not a question. We're not.
Right. Exactly.
Do you know what I'm saying? So yeah, or we're not, at least to this extent. And it's not to say that he's not a good coach, but you know, these interviews are going to the people who are, you know, the hottest at the time. And it's not even necessarily a reflection of who's good. There are a ton of great coaches that don't even get these looks because they're not hot.
Okay, so breaking news happens on the podcast. Sausage gets made. Josina gets, you even said, in fact, Nada, make sure you leave in the part where Joe says, that's the Texans, because that's the Texans again.
Go ahead. It's okay. That's all right. Go ahead.
The Texans fired David Culley. Josina would have found out on the podcast. Sausage made, et cetera, but you can listen to the timestamp on the podcast and figure it out. Are you surprised that they fired David Culley, given 1 year, he never really had a chance there.
No, well, look, they have, first of all, high admiration, appreciation, like for David Culley. I wouldn't be surprised if they offered him a position still within the organization to stay. That's how much they like. And he's just really a good person. I can't say I sit here and say I've watched a whole bunch of Texans games to really know, you know, about the, you know, how the games have unfolded. But based on the fact that I, like I said on the CBS HQ an hour ago, that I still kept not hearing a definitive yes. And that even last week, someone told me that it was 80-20 against, which I didn't say on the air because I try not to put those things out there when it comes to people's jobs, you know, as much as I don't get pressed when people ask me, what do you know? What do you know? But I basically could see it coming. And then I also thought that his fate rested on how much the options through back channels that they were hearing, you know, could potentially be a replacement.
Notably, Brian Flores, who was fired from Miami. And maybe he's not the answer. Maybe it's Josh McDaniels who's ready to leave. You know, whatever it is, you think there might be some Patriots connections.
There's 100% that there have been, you know, dalliances in trying to figure out the Josh McDaniels situation. That is true. Obviously, Brian Flores, as you mentioned, some of the other coaches that are out there, whether Josh or Flores is happening or not. And obviously I haven't been able to get to my phone, but I was just looking at the names that people that I thought would consider taking the job based on who's out there. Byron Leftwich, Mike McDaniel from the 49ers, Kellen Moore, Vance Joseph, you know, of some of the names that are out there as far as the Houston opening.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And with the Texans, a lot will hinge on what their plans are for Deshaun Watson. Flores was a guy that Watson really like was willing to waive his new trade clause to go to Miami. So will they try and bring Deshaun back? Davis Mills looked very good. A lot to figure out with the Texans, but those are some of the names to keep an eye out for. All right, Josina, we're gonna bounce out of here quickly because I have to do an emergency podcast on David Culley. You're gonna have to jump on HQ with that David Culley.
Yes.
And there's a constant flow of information happening in the NFL. Always a wonderful time of the year. Joe, good to talk to you. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, Will. I appreciate you.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.